This podcast is a Radio Mike original production. Head to radiomike.com.au to find out more.
Welcome to 20th Century Boy. My name is Ruperto Murdoch, and this is the inside of my mind. My name is not Ruperto Murdoch, but every week on this podcast, listeners send in a different, often RM-themed name, because my real name is Radio Mike, or a something-o-something. For example, if it was, I don't know, if it was Anzac Day, Anzio Day, which is not... Anyway, that was a terrible example. Welcome to my podcast by me, Radio Mike, the guy you're listening to right now. A young 26-year-old person from Melbourne, Australia, trying to make his way through the rough and tumble of living life. Sometimes it's easier than other times. At the moment, it's a little hard, but I've had a good week. I felt pretty good this week. I hope you're well as well. First things first, though. Patreon.com/Radio Mike. I wanted to do a huge thank you to everyone who joined the Patreon. 4 new patrons last week. Thank you so much. You guys now get to listen to the exclusive bonus podcast with me and Pat, the most recent episode of which we planned my funeral. So if you want, it was pretty funny. Me and Pat, the producer of this show, planned my funeral and also talked about Spider-Man No Way Home, the new Spider-Man movie that is coming out. We talked a lot about that. So... if you are interested in that, definitely jump on the Patreon. 4 new patrons. There are now 31 patrons. It is getting to a point where if you're not on Patreon, you are a bit of a loser. So I would get on the Patreon, patreon.com/radiomike. As little as $1 a month, you get everything. And if you're $4.50 or above, I'll send you a bunch of free stickers. So to people who have just signed up, the stickers are coming. So please just hang tight. Thank you so much. It really means a lot. Like, to actually see the Patreon growing each week is awesome. I would love to see a couple more people on this week. If you've considered it, if you're on for 3 months, that's $3 if you do a dollar. If you give $5, that's $15. You know, that's one coffee a month maybe, right? So like, I would love to see as many people on the Patreon as possible. It just covers the costs of Pat, who produces this show and does an amazing job, and hosting the podcast and other costs like that. And the more we grow on the Patreon, just the more stuff I'm able to do with this content. So yeah, I'd love for you to consider jumping on. You can also win the podcast, do a 360 on the spot right now. If you see me in the flesh, you've won the podcast. Congratulations. Let me know. It is very hard to win at the moment because Melbourne is in lockdown. And of course, at the start of every episode from now on, trivia question of the week. Last week, the question was, which UK comedian penned the books Recovery and Revolution? Had two people send in. You must submit your answer via 1-800-438-353, the official hotline of the podcast. Send in your answer by that voice message. We had two people send in, one correct, one incorrect. Radio Scooter, welcome to the radio family. Here's what Scooter had to say.
Hi, Radio Mike. It is Radio Scooter here. I am calling you from a wood. I've been riding my bike and listening to the pod. What was I calling for? Answering the trivia question. I don't know the answer. I haven't Googled the answer. I'm going to guess Ricky Gervais. And to convince myself this is serious, I've taped it over our wedding video.
Okay, a nice Simpsons movie tearjerker moment there. Thank you, Scooter. Incorrect, though. And of course, the trivia question of the week is at the start of each podcast, and you can't Google it. It's an honesty system. So Scooter has done the right thing there. He didn't know the answer. He gave it a punt. He called the hotline. He left his message. It's incorrect, but thank you, Scooter, for trying. Radio Mel. Welcome to the radio family. Here's what Mel said.
Hi, Radio Mike. It's Radio Mel here. Hello. I'm just calling in about the trivia question. I may be a bit late, but I believe the answer is Russell Brand, I'm pretty sure. Hand on heart, didn't Google it, so it could be wrong, could be right. Have a good one. Bye.
Well, Mel, I will confirm that you are right. Congratulations. Now, there's got to be a system here. I reckon, like, at the end of the year, whoever has the most correct answers wins a prize. So, Mel, you now have 1 point. in the, you are the first person to ever get a point. You are correct. It was Russell Brand. Well done. Thanks for calling up and leaving the message. And of course, you can't Google it. You can't look it up. Honesty system, as I said. This week's trivia question, first person to call in with the correct answer wins. The trivia question is, in the 2002 animated film Ice Age, who voices Manny the Mammoth? That is your question. 1-800-438-353, which I will talk a little bit more about soon. Give it a call and you can win a point. A point that, as of yet, we don't know what it earns you. Thank you so much as well. Actually, before that, I am now one dose into my vaccination. I received the Pfizer vaccine. I had no side effects. My arm was sore for like one day, but I'm totally fine. And that's why me and Pat were planning my funeral in the Patreon bonus, just in case I died, which was highly unlikely, but we just wanted to be prepared. Go check out what my funeral is going to be like. Spoiler alert, it's going to be awesome. But yeah, really excited to have my vax. Hope everyone's considering getting the vaccine or has already got it. Let me know where you're at in that. And thanks for everyone who tuned into episode 2 of Mic Check over on IGTV or YouTube, wherever you preferred to watch it. Mic Check is my comedy series that has been in the works for a very, very long time. And I finally put out the first episode last week. No, the first episode 2 weeks ago, second episode last week, which was on television. Got nearly 10,000 views on IGTV. Really appreciate everyone who liked, commented, watched it. Let me know that they liked it. Really appreciate that. I think that one, the second one, television, is probably the highlight. Third episode on games will be out this Thursday. And that's all I've got for now, but I'm really glad I finally put it out. Last week, best friend of the show, Radio Nacho Cheese, commented that, left a voicemail again, commented that he, it was a laugh a minute. And I said, well, it only goes for 5 minutes, which means five laughs. Like, I was hoping for 3 to 4 LPM. Here's what Nacho sent in this week as a response.
Mikey, Nacho here. I'm just responding to how you sort of, not, you didn't call me out, but, you know, you're just querying why I was only giving you one laugh a minute. So about 5 to 6 laughs for your mic check video. Well, like if I laugh too much, like long, you know, like prolonged big laughter, I'm going to miss a lot of the video. So there was plenty of little chuckles and, you know, under the breath laughs every minute, heaps of those little smiles and smirks, but probably only one big, you know, laugh that lasts 10 to 15 seconds because I'm trying to give you the respect by watching your video properly. And if I'm just laughing my head off the whole time, I'll miss it. Anyway, much love. I'm looking forward to the second one on Thursday. And have a good one, mate. Good luck with your vaccine. Bye-bye.
See you, thanks, mate. Nacho. You're always such a gentleman in the way you clear things up like that. So, yeah, there's obviously different styles of laughter. There's like the, or the, right? And then there's the actual laugh out loud. So thank you for clarifying, Nacho. Much less insecure about it now. And always good to hear your voice on the podcast. In fact, really wanting to do a push at the moment, which is why the trivia thing is call up only. Want to get as many voices on the show as possible. If you've got something to say, call the hotline. Voices on this podcast is what makes it. Otherwise, just write in radiomikepod@gmail.com, radiomike.com.au/contact, or radio.mike on Insta. Slide into my DMs. Just like Radio Beth. Welcome to the radio family, Radio Beth. Here's your sound effect. Just listened to the latest ep and remembered another movie that made me cry. We were talking about that last week. The Land Before Time. I just remember I was about 7 and I got really upset watching it and Mum was like, I think you might need to stop watching this. It's making you too upset. Heart-wrenching film, the first one. Heart-wrenching. When Littlefoot's mother dies, when he follows her shadow, thinking it's her leading... Sorry. He follows his own shadow, thinking it's her leading him to the Great Valley. The song, If We Hold On Together. If we hold on together, I know our dreams will never die. I had to do it. I had to do it, guys. That song, every time I hear it, I immediately am in tears. If we hold on together. That song is the motto of my life. Every time, it's not, every time something happens in my life that requires, like, where something's bad, all I want to do is start going, if we hold on together. Anyway, if you know, you know, it's a great song. Feel free to let me know your thoughts on the song. Great song. You know our dreams will never die. Radio Sarah, thank you for writing in on Instagram. Great one here, because I'm realizing that lots and lots of people are at different parts of the podcast. Like, some people have like binged from the start, and it seems that there's some weird thing on Spotify or some other app where only like the most recent 100 episodes show, and there's probably like nearly 150 eps now. So the first, I guess, maybe 50 episodes you can't listen to on some apps. Let me know if other people are encountering that. I don't know what causes it. It's really annoying. But to be honest, I cringe at the first bunch of episodes of this pod, so I'm not too fussed about fixing it. Radio Sarah, though. Hey, I've been binging some pretty old podcasts along with the Patreon apps. Oh, welcome to the Patreon, Sarah. Thank you. I got up to the 2020 Hottest 100 episode. That was the second episode of season two, where I did my Hottest 100 of the decade. It's reminded me of the band Columbus. I can't fathom why I didn't listen to this band album more, because I'm listening to Spring Forever on repeat. That's their debut album of the band Columbus, which is a Brisbane pop punk band. And agreed, Sarah, like, they are the best. Like, I actually found randomly on TikTok the lead singer of Columbus, and I was like, oh my god, I love your stuff. And I actually asked him if he wanted to do a mic talks, and he said he would, so I should hit him up about that. But Columbus, just that album, Spring Forever, classic Australian pop punk album. And it, and to me, it came out in like 2016, you know, was really, I was in Japan at the time listening to that album while I was like skiing down like this huge mountain. And I was just like, oh, this is, it was like, it's like a breakup album. Listen to Spring Forever by Columbus. It's an amazing album. Thank you, Sarah. And of course, this guy, Radio, don't know your name, welcome though, who actually left me a message saying this, and he's been listening from the very start of the pod. So here's what he had to say.
You've got to be shitting me. I started listening to the pod last week, and I'm up to the part where you started kickstarting 1-800-GET-FUCKED. Yeah, not going to lie, I'm surprised you got it. It was pretty funny. Anyway, loving Harry Potter and the boys. It's going to be sad when it ends. Intern Mike singing You Raise Me Up is one of the funniest things I've heard in a podcast. Might be an unpopular opinion, but Siggy Mike is a flog, and I hope he's killed off in a future episode. Anyway, maybe I'll give you a call back when I'm up to date.
Okay, that was great, because the podcast has obviously changed so much since the first season, and all of the references there are really old season one references. You gotta be shitting me, Intern Mike and Siggy Mike, Intern Mike singing You Raise Me Up. That is a classic. If you haven't heard that episode, that was a classic. I forgot all about that. Funnily enough, he says, because Harry Potter and the Boys, my other podcast, started on this podcast. He says it'll be sad when it ends. Ironically, it still hasn't ended, even on its spin-off podcast version, because it's currently on hiatus. But love that. Love how people are at different stages of the pod at different points. Really, really enjoy that. Now, on 1-800-438-353, which spells out 1-800-GET-FUCKED, I do need to do an update on the podcast hotline, 1-800-GET-FUCKED. Last week, I actually spoke at length about this hotline. And again, if you're new to the podcast, welcome, welcome, welcome. But what I do need to make very clear is that, yeah, we own the phone number 1-800-GET-FUCKED. It is owned by the people of the podcast, right? It is a hotline that we crowdfunded $350 for. You can call it, as I've said throughout the pod, and leave a voicemail. When I explained it on last week's episode, I said to Pat, who cuts up all the clips for this podcast and puts them on TikTok and Instagram, and I said, oh, why don't you, let's make one of one me explaining 1-800-GET-FUCKED. We'll just see how it goes. Now, what's happened is that video has gone, you know, minor viral on TikTok, got like 22,000 views. And what I regret about it, and what I think has happened now, is we may or may not have ruined the podcast hotline. And why do I say that? Well, because this TikTok has kind of gone viral, a lot of people are now calling the number, but they're not calling the number to necessarily contribute to the podcast. Most people, in fact, most people, and I should say Whitey, Radio Whitey, who manages 1-800-GET-FUCKED, because he was the one who bought it for us through his telecommunications company. sent me some details. So over the last week, 1-800-GET-FUCKED has had 1,034 calls. And most of those calls are people, A, either ringing up, laughing and immediately hanging up, or a lot of you just ringing me up and saying, get fucked to me. Now, normally someone wouldn't be really happy with 1,000 people ringing him and telling him to get fucked, but I'm really glad everyone gave it a shot and called it. Thank you. Check out the podcast as well. I mean, had a few people not say that. Here's what one person said.
How many people have just said get fucked and hung up? I actually want to know, like, what percentage of voicemails is other people fucked and then leaving? Get back to me.
Yeah, well, I will get back to you right now. It's probably about 90%. Then I had one person who clearly went and watched some of my other TikToks.
Dude, I just watched the Truman Show because of your TikTok and, like, life changed. Also, get fucked.
Had to add it in at the end there. And then I will sum it up by saying that most people that called the number seemed to have a little bit of this vibe going on.
Yeah, nah, don't watch the show. Fucking thought this was funny. Ring. I'm so fucking high and drunk at the moment. Fuck.
That's it. Most of you seem to be in that boat. So keep the numbers coming, even though it seems like the hotline is probably ruined forever now because I have to filter through every single call to figure out which ones are actually people wanting to call the show legitimately. Now people are just calling it, and I'm sure people are going to show their friends. Calls are just going to come in and in and in, and we're never going to, we're never going to have a, let's see how we go over the next week. Maybe the hubbub will die down around the TikTok, but we'll see how we go. Okay, moving on. Another thing, another update of the podcast. Lots of updates this week. You may or may not have heard that, look guys, Olivia Rodrigo, known for her hit single, Good For You, has nonchalantly and quietly added Hayley Williams' name to the writing credits of her song, Good For You. Wow. I mean, we've all been talking about it, haven't we? In fact, I recently on the podcast did a whole episode about this. Here's what I said. I'll put it in here. Olivia Rodrigo copied the Paramore song Misery Business for her song Good For You. It's a very good song, but it is in no uncertain terms a almost beat for beat plagiarism of Paramore's Misery Business. Surely that song must have been 2003 or 4. I feel like not many people are talking about this as much as I would think. I used to like wake up and the radio would be on and Good For You would come on. I would be like half asleep and be like, is this Paramore? But they're like copying their own song. And then I later found out it's Olivia Rodrigo. It's very interesting, isn't it? Because are we moving to a point in music where you can just copy other people's music without crediting them? And I just find it weird. Olivia Rodrigo did copy Misery Business by Paramore with her song Good For You. It was so obvious. And to the plethora of people in the comments of that TikTok I did, who told me I was wrong, who told me I was stupid, look at you now. Her name is in the credits. Olivia Rodrigo. That is pretty much Olivia Rodrigo conceding and saying, okay, I don't want to get sued, so I'm going to put your name in the credits. Clearly, behind the scenes, and people saying, oh, Hayley doesn't care about it. Paramore hasn't said anything about it, so who cares? Clearly, there was some behind-the-scenes pressure from Team Paramore onto Team Rodrigo. Clearly, they settled it by going, okay, we'll just put your names in the credits, which is fine. But I think it's pretty interesting. The songs are clearly copies of each other. Well, sorry, Good For You is clearly a copy of Misery Business. And there's one guy on Instagram who keeps messaging me justice for Olivia. What? Olivia doesn't lose anything out of this. The song's still popular. And at no point did I say the song was a bad song. All I said was that she stole the song off Paramore, beat for beat. Like, literally everything about the song, and whether it's interpolation or whatever, it's not a sample. It's just the way people said that I was wrong. Hey, I was right. She's conceded. Nothing to say now, aren't you? You're all going to be... I'm sure people will abuse me in the TikTok comments if we make this a clip, but... it's a triumph of the show. I'd like to think that the pressure that we put on from this show helped bring Olivia Rodrigo to justice for copying Misery Business. So, you know, I'm happy for Hayley Williams. I think that's good for her. Yep. I think that's good for her. Good for you. Good for you. You got, well, bad for you. Bad for you. You, your song got, bad for you. You got caught out stealing our song. Now you have to credit the original writers in the credits. Bad for you. Now you got, anyway, fill in the blanks, I guess. I want to talk here about Spider-Man No Way Home. Now, if you're not a Marvel fan or a superhero fan, you might zone out of this, but last week the trailer for No Way Home launched. I did speak a bit about this with Pat in the Patreon episode, but I do want to talk about it on the main episode as well. The trailer launched, and as confirmed already, we finally got a glimpse of Alfred Molina, who... How do I explain this to people who don't really get it? Because I realize not everyone gets what's going on here. Basically, there's been three live-action iterations of Spider-Man. The Sam Raimi trilogy, which was Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man. After that, there was Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man, which with The Amazing Spider-Man and The Amazing Spider-Man 2. And now there's Tom Holland's Spider-Man, who is part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Those are the three live-action iterations. Now, Maguire and Garfield Spider-Man, they were, they were separate. They've never been in the same, like, they were just separate. Garfield rebooted Spider-Man, basically. So they were in separate timelines. And then, well, I'm sure this isn't a surprise, but there was an animated film called Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, Miles Morales, who is another Spider-Man, an African-American Spider-Man, he's really cool. Miles Morales interacts with different Spider-Men from across the Spider-Verse or multiverse, right? That movie was a hit, critical acclaim, really successful, really creative. In the Marvel Cinematic Universe, they have started to tease the fact that there is going to be some sort of multiverse happening soon. We know that from, sorry, if you're watching the video, I just put the headphones on because I thought there was a weird sound, but there's not, so I'm taking them off. Sorry, guys. There is, at the end of WandaVision, we get hints of a multiverse, as well as the title of the upcoming Doctor Strange film, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. And Spider-Man title, Spider-Man No Way Home, suggests that maybe Spider-Man leaves his home or can't find his way back home, possibly because he goes into another universe, right? In the multiverse. And this was all but confirmed essentially when Alfred Molina, who played Doc Ock back in Sam Raimi's trilogy, and Jamie Foxx, who played Electro, another Spidey villain, in The Amazing Spider-Man 2 with Andrew Garfield, two non-connected, none of these were connected, they were cast in the film as their characters, right? Which seemed to confirm this theory that yes, this is a multiverse, right? These villains from the other Spider-Men from years and years ago are now making their way into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, right? And I think it's awesome. So now, I guess the main speculation from people is, are Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire going to be in Spider-Man No Way Home? And to all the people speculating, and I did a poll on Instagram, I think it was like 80% yes, 20% no. To anyone who does think that they are not going to... For anyone who thinks that Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield are not going to be in No Way Home, I will say with confidence that they are absolutely 100% going to be in the movie. There is no way, absolutely no way, they are not going to be in this movie. Like, why would they just have Doc Ock, the villain from Spider-Man 2, appear in Spider-Man No Way Home? And they also teased in the trailer Green Goblin from Spider-Man, as well as Sandman, I believe, was teased as well from... he was in Spider-Man 3, I think. There is no way they're not going to use this, because when you think about the Marvel Cinematic Universe, after the Avengers Endgame, they've got to do something huge to get people like loving it again. Like, not that people don't love it, but the Endgame was a pivotal moment in the MCU, right? And it was huge. It was the biggest sort of superhero crossover of all time. Now, how can they one-up that? I know. Let's bring in multiverse characters from previous Marvel movies pre-MCU. Let's get Peter Parker, Tobey Maguire's Peter Parker, and Andrew Garfield's Peter Parker, and let them meet Tom Holland's Peter Parker. No way in hell are they not going to have those three side by side in the movie at some point. They may not be in the whole movie. Maybe they pop in at the end. But I guarantee you, the title itself, No Way Home, everything about the casting, Alfred Molina in it, Jamie Foxx cast in it, there's no way Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire are not in it. And every time people in interviews ask them, obviously they're not going to be like, yeah, no, we are in it, right? They have to lie because it's supposed to be like the biggest surprise ever. Like, this is going to be a huge, huge surprise for people watching these movies. And it's going to be a huge moment. So there's no way they're going to confirm it in movies. I guarantee you they're going to do it. Why wouldn't they? Like, neither Tobey Maguire or Andrew Garfield have done huge things since their Spider-Man roles. They'd be offered so much money to do it. Like, they would be so valuable to this movie, they'd throw money at them to make it happen. So why wouldn't you? That's what I'm saying. Calling it now, 100%. And I don't think anyone's doubting this, but yeah, all three live-action Spider-Men will appear in Spider-Man No Way Home, guaranteed, and I can't wait for it. That is my thoughts. Let me know yours when you listen to this podcast. Send me a DM. Okay, we do have to do a couple more things on the podcast this week. So I think the first thing we have to do is this.
The plug.
Sorry, press the wrong button. It's actually this.
Misheard song lyrics, a generic segment that is very generic.
Press the wrong button. It is Misheard Song Lyrics, a generic segment that is very generic that we are doing currently on the podcast. Thank you to everyone for sending them in. I would love for people to continue sending them in. And we do have a fair few really good ones this week that I really liked. So let's start with Radio Lazar. Welcome to the radio family. Longtime listener, and I believe also a member of the Patreon, so thank you so much. Radio Lazar simply replied, Swimming Broomstick Lullabies. Does anyone know what song that might be? Well, I will play it for you. This is a misheard song lyric of Mr. Brightside. Swimming Broomstick Lullabies. So it's, he thinks, he thought it said, Swimming Broomstick Lullabies. I'm pretty sure it's, is it Swimming Through Sweet Lullabies?
Swimming Through Sweet Lullabies.
Or Sick Lullabies? But yeah, it does sound a lot like Swimming Broomstick Lullabies, so I like that. Thank you for contributing, Radio Lazar. Radio Matt Pedder, a great one that I think a lot of people miss here, is Empire State of Mind, classic song. And he says it sounds like they're saying Concrete Jungle Wet Dreams Tomatoes. Can definitely hear that as well. Concrete Jungle Wet Dream Tomato. It's obviously Concrete Jungle Where Dreams Are Made Of. But yeah, totally reasonable mistake to make. Loved this one from Radio Scooter, who we also heard at the top of the pod. Welcome to the radio family, Radio Scooter. Appreciate you contributing so much. He said, in the song Laura Palmer by Bastille, classic song, classic song. This is your heart. Can you feel it? Can you feel it? If we hold on together. Sorry, guys, I had to. He said, at 1:14, it sounds like he says, pooed out your beating heart. I've isolated the audio. Let's have a listen.
What's the year and what's the night? What terrifying final sights? Pooed out your beating heart.
Let's listen one more time.
What's the year and what's the night? What terrifying final sights?
I think it's pulled out your beating heart. It does sound a lot like pooed out. He also says, what do you think of Bastille? Which I'll quickly answer. I saw Bastille live in like 2014 and it was really good. And I loved their first album, Bad Blood, which had heaps of good songs. What was that? I can barely remember it now. It was so long ago, but I really liked it. What was the main song from that album, guys? I know you're not listening to me do this live, so you physically cannot respond, but I feel like if we channel it, I'll remember the song. It was like, and if you close your eyes, better, does it almost feel like nothing's changed at all? I'm going to be an optimist about this. I can't even, what's the name of that song? So basically, I thought that first Bastille album was really good. I listened to it a lot. I think Laura Palmer is their best song, the one that pooed out Your Beating Heart. And then whatever that other song was called, I really liked. I saw them live. They were really good. They also did a cover of The Rhythm of the Night. This is the rhythm of the night. Oh, night. Oh, yeah. The rhythm. Sorry, guys, get carried away. If we hold on together. And then I love... Yeah, I thought they were really good. But Laura Palmer, the thing I loved about it the most is the chorus of that song, as I sung before, is "This is your heart." And it always reminded me, again, and this is how my stupid brain works, it always reminded me of that scene in Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban where Professor Lupin turns into the werewolf and Sirius Black is going to him, "This is your heart, Remus. This heart right here." Every time I hear that song, I'll cut in some audio of that scene so you can remember it. But yeah, always reminds me of that scene from Harry Potter. Enjoy Bastille. Back to misheard song lyrics. And someone please send me the name of that Bastille song. I'm not going to look it up, but I wouldn't mind listening to it. The one that goes, "I'm going to be an optimist about this. And if you close your eyes..." Is it called Optimist? Does it almost feel like... No idea. I'm going to be... Anyway. Okay, here's another one. This is not sent in by a listener, but I actually remember having this disagreement with my friend about the Fat Boy Slim song, "Praise You." Classic song. "You've come a long, long way together through the hard time..." You know it. If you don't, listen to it. It's an amazing electronic song. Fat Boy Slim's... songs, generally, if you've heard any of them, the main three being "Praise You," "Right Here, Right Now," and "Rockefeller," or whatever that one's called. Generally, there's just one lyric that repeats throughout the whole song. "Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right up," and then "Funk Soul Brother." "Right about now. The Funk Soul Brother. Check it out now," right? And then there's "Praise You." "I have to praise you like I should." My friend at school was convinced that the lyrics were, "I have to praise you like a shoe." Now, what does that actually mean? "I have to praise you like a shoe." Like you praise your shoes? It's "praise you like I should." Love that one. Just came to me. And then... new kind of category, which isn't really misheard song lyrics, but songs where, this is going to be so niche, if anyone writes in with one, let me know. Like, I'd be so amazed. But songs where you're not sure why the song is titled what it's called, and then you realize. Now, I know that's a weird solicit, but I'd love to put it out there. Basically, songs where like, so my example of this is the song "The Middle" by Jimmy Eat World. "It just takes, hey, don't write yourself off yet. It's only in your head you feel that," right? I always used to be like, why is that song called "The Middle"? And I always used to sing it, the chorus as, "It just takes some time, off the right, everything." Never knew that lyric. Only like recently, like 2 years ago, did I discover that that lyric is in fact, "It just takes some time, little girl, you're in the middle of the ride." And that's why it's called "The Middle." "It just takes some time, little girl, in the middle of the ride." I just never knew that, right? And then I found out, I'm like, oh, because I was always like, why is it called "The Middle"? They never say "The Middle" anywhere in the song. "It just takes some time. It's right there." If you have an example of something like that, I realize there's probably going to be none, but I would love, there's one song where you're like, I didn't know why it was called that. Then I realized I was just mishearing the lyrics. but I'd ever misheard the lyrics. I just didn't know what the lyrics were. So I was just saying. All right. A little bit of podcast beef, not started by me, but in fact, started by friend of the show, Luke Kidgel. Welcome to the radio family, Luke Kidgel. Was listening to his podcast, really fun podcast, The Luke Kidgel Hour, creatively titled. He had this to say about something I said on the podcast.
Mike had a pretty shit take this week, actually. Radio Mike, furious. Bit of podcast beef. I'm happy to start it. Radio Mike said that the Killers have two good songs. Or was it two good albums? I don't want to misquote him.
I think albums.
Okay. All right, maybe he's right. They have more than two good songs, though. Because those albums, fuck, they're so good. Or maybe it was they haven't released a good album since Sam's Town. That's actually pretty spot on.
Yeah, I think that's what the point
I think
was,
they've released a couple of good songs since then. You know, a couple of hits have come through, sneak through those dark phases of that band's career. But
okay, never have I had someone start beef and then instantly resolve the beef. Like, instantly just go back, oh, no, okay, yeah, he's right. Again, does my opinion of the Killers only having two good albums stand? I did mention last week that I was thinking that Battle Born, their fourth album, might be a good album. Now, what is the verdict on that, I'm sure you're wondering? Well, I would like to confirm that Battle Born is, in fact, not a good album. It just has some good songs on it, but it is not a good album as a whole. Hot Fuss and Sam's Town remain the only two good Killers album. On that episode of Luke's podcast, he also discussed with Reese his version of Pat for me. Again, learn more about Pat, patreon.com/radiomike, little as a dollar a month. Hear from him, he's very funny. The Blink-182 comeback album from 2011, Neighborhoods. Luke said it was trash. Reese said he really liked it. And I will say, and I'll put it right here on the podcast, I'm going to talk more about this soon because the 10-year anniversary of that album is coming up and I loved that album. It is an amazing album. Songs like Ghost on the Dance Floor, After Midnight, Up All Night, Wishing Well, amazing. So I'm going to talk more about that album soon, but Luke, you are completely wrong. There's some beef for you. There's some podcast beef. I've never heard someone as wrong as you in that moment on your podcast. Okay. Just a few small things to get through. The grilled competition is still running. Just by listening to this podcast, you have a chance to win $85 worth of grilled merch. How do you enter? Okay. Sorry. Sorry, I just realized I need to find this email. I'm just going to find this email and then I will continue talking because I'm tripping over my words a bit. Okay, I found it. Sorry about that. Okay, you could win $85 worth of grilled credit. So buy whatever you want for it. If they sell merch, maybe you can buy grilled merch. Otherwise, burgers. Welcome to the radio family, Thai jury. Welcome. Now, what I said is you could win by basically submitting a fan art, but I have now extended this to create a meme about me and Grilled or fan art of me and Grilled. Two people have, Ty Jury and also Radio Hazel. Welcome to the radio family. But I do want to say, at present, Ty is currently in front. What he's done is, he's done like, he's taken a watercolor picture of me. No, sorry, he's taken a photo of me and like done a watercolored art version of it. And put a burger in my hands. I'll put it on the screen now. I'm holding it up to the camera, right? It's a beautiful print. He's also put it on a grilled bag, which Grilled Burgers said themselves would get you extra points. And I genuinely like this. I want to get this framed and I want to sell it as merch. So Ty, can you let me know if you're happy for me to put this on like a tote bag? Because I actually reckon it looks sick and I really, really love it. So this week, create a meme or any kind of fan art at all that involves me and Grilled, and you could win $85 worth of Grilled. It's the podcast's biggest giveaway of all time, really. So I would love for you to engage with that as much or as little as you would like, but please send something in. And one more thing before the plug, also send in, because I want to make a compilation, your version of the sad scene from The Simpsons movie with your best Marge Simpson impression. Pat sent one in. Pat from the podcast, patreon.com/radiomike. Pat, Here's your one.
Mike, this is Radio Superstar Pat, sending in my submission for my Marge impression.
Homer, I have to go now. You're being bad. And to show you how bad you are, I'm taping this message over our wedding video. Goodbye, Homer.
Not sure what the N was, but yeah. Please, please send in your impressions. Lots of solicits today, guys. Send something in, trivia question, Marge Simpson impressions, misheard song lyrics we'll keep doing for a bit. But for now, let's finish off the pod by doing one of these bad boys. Psst, the plug! Not too much to plug at the moment. As I said, I would love for you to check out Mic Check. That's up on my YouTube channel, radio.mike. Welcome to all the new subscribers. And it will go up on IGTV, radio.mike. Please check it out wherever you would like to. And if you could be so kind, this is something that I would actually love for people to do. I know this might be weird, but I would love it if you could share it on your Instagram story or wherever. Just press the share button and share it to get as many eyes on it as possible. If you haven't done that, I would really love it to be like, put it on your story and be like, this is funny. Please watch it. I really would appreciate that a lot if you could be so kind. The Remembering Project for Hamish and Andy is now over. There are now 40 episodes of that. I pop in from time to time. Would love for you to check that out. We are doing another season, I think, at the start of next year. I'm not sure when we're recording it, but I believe that is public knowledge, so I'm allowed to say that, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, the YouTube in general, Harry Potter and the Boys still on hiatus till I can have people over. And of course, I want to bring Mike Talks back and do a few more Mike Talks because I really enjoyed doing that. Aside from that, I just want to thank everyone for listening. I really encourage you to leave a voicemail, 1-800-438-353. Would love to hear your voice on the show. I want to get as many voices on as possible. That's like a priority for me. I love to have people calling up and leaving messages. It's awesome to have voices on the show. And as well as that, send an email. Patreon, please. If you don't want to do the Patreon, just paypal.me/itsradiomike. I'll send you all the episodes if you request them. Jump in the Discord as well. That's a lot of fun. And yeah, I think that's pretty much it. Thank you so much for listening. My name's been Radio Mike. I'm not doing all the bonus ones today because my mouth is sick of talking. Goodbye forever. This has been the Inside of My Mind. Not forever, though. I'll be back next week. Cool. This podcast was a Radio Mike original production. Head to radiomike.com.au to check out all our other content, stay up to date at radio.mike on Instagram, and get in touch, radiomikepod@gmail.com.